Well, good morning. It is a joy to be with you. I'd like to welcome our visitors we had from the NRP school. Welcome to you guys. Great to have you here with us this morning. Just send that. And any other visitors we have with us, it's a joy to be with you. I just thankful for that that encouragement from Mackenzie. That was kind of setting me up. What a beautiful segue that is. You can tell the Spirit is aligning us and moving this morning. So I'm excited to start this new sermon series called Jesus Changes Everything, and it's about the book of Philippians. Now, I don't know about you, but the book of Philippians is one of my favorite. It's four short chapters packed with amazing verses, and I'm excited. God bless you. But the sermon series is called Jesus Changes Everything, and I'm up here because Jesus changed my life many years ago, and I know you're sitting here because Jesus changed your life, and we're looking for God to continue to move and amongst us as well to do more in our lives. And so as we begin, there's a story I want to share with you. There's a man a number of years ago who had been chasing his dream, the American dream of success, his entire life, and he had built a career. And he had gone through all the different things. He had gained respect, and he achieved the goals that he had set out to achieve. But at the same time, he was chasing this. From the outside, he looked like he had it all together. Can you relate to that? You feel like you have it all together. But on the inside, this man was kind of broken. He was missing something. There was this restlessness that was part of his life. I don't know if you can relate to that this morning. But one day, after a particularly a long stretch of work and stress that he had gone through at work, he sat alone and he simply asked this question: is this what my life has really become? Is this what my life has really become? He had everything that he had set out to achieve. He got it. Everything that he set out. He had all the different things. But the thing that this man was missing was peace, the peace of Christ. He thought that it would have come with all the other stuff that was there. He had no joy in his life. He was not happy. And I'm not talking about a superficial happiness, but a joy that only the Lord could provide. He had no purpose or direction. He had all the stuff. He had all the money. He had all kinds of the things that we would associate with the American dream, but he had no purpose. And in this quiet moment, as he sits in this room, he understands that he had built a life but not found his life. And I wonder if us this morning, if we are building our life on something other than the foundation of Jesus Christ. And most people live that way. Most people that we encounter, maybe you're sitting here, that's me this morning, but most people live their life. They're going to build it and find success on all kinds of different things in this life that the world says you need. But we understand this, that we believe here at Bridge City Church at Brighton Heights, that we understand that Jesus changes everything. And that's where we are this morning, that we can become busy with all kinds of stuff. Our calendar can be chock full, but we can feel empty. We can have all kinds of success and degrees on the wall, but there's still something in our hearts that's missing. We're searching for that thing to fill that God-shaped space in our life. And that we could be moving all over the place, but not understand why. Just kind of aimlessly moving around, you know, like goldfish, just swimming through the tank. Right, but we're not understanding the why we do what we do. And so this man had built a life on those different things. But here's a quote that I love, and you've heard different pastors and preachers that have been up here at different points say this. It's from William Barclay, the great scholar. He said, "There are two great days in a person's life," and I agree with this. Number one was the day they were born, and number two, to discover why they were born. William Barclay. And so discovering our why, discovering and understanding that through the lens of Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're understanding our why only comes from Jesus Christ and not the American dream, not our politics, not where we live, the car we drive or want to drive, right? But it comes through a why of discovering who Jesus made you to be, who God created you to be, and as the Spirit moves in your life, he's asking you this morning, why? What's your purpose? What's your why this morning? And I know that we're here, that Christians come to church to keep discovering their why. Once they have that purpose, they continue to serve and give out of the abundance of their life. They give of their time and their talent and their treasure. But we continually search for that why. And so what is your why this morning? What's your why this morning? Why are you here? What are you looking for in a relationship with God, or a lack of a relationship with God? And so the New Testament book of Philippians gives us a why, gives us a peek in to what God, how he desires to give us that why, that joy, that peace, that purpose in our life. I love the book of Philippians. It truly is. But when we come to understand this, the book of Philippians, it's one of the best pastoral letters that Paul wrote. I'm partial to it. I believe that. But it tells us about what life can be like. It can give you a why to your life. Don't you want that this morning? We had people come up and get prayer. Thank you for our prayer team for doing that. But people dealing with different issues in our lives, that our family might be in a disconnected right now, or we're just in a state of confusion or loneliness. And those words that Mackenzie shared, that's where we are. Like, God wants to meet us and give us life and life now. But as Paul writes this letter to the Philippian church, I don't know if you know much about it. He was written in Rome. And as Paul went to, he was imprisoned in Rome, and it was around 60 to 62 AD at the church at Philippi. This is like modern day Greece. That's where this is located. But he was in prison, put in jail, and he begins to write this letter to the Philippian church. And Paul is sitting in this jail, not knowing if he's going to live or die. He doesn't know that, but what he does have, he understands his why. That he is here to serve God, and he has a joy while he's doing that. He says this, and if there was one verse that summarized the entire four chapters of the book of Philippians, it's Philippians 1:21. It says this: "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's what Paul was all about. That's what the Christian life is all about, is to dying to ourselves, surrendering those things to Lord. Because Jesus changes everything, amen? And so he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I encourage you in the next 4 weeks, read the book of Philippians. Just make that part of your devotional life. Read a little bit at a time, but see how God moved in that church. Look at the responses from Paul and Timothy and some of the others. It's absolutely amazing. And so he came to understand as he's writing from this jail in Rome, he's writing to the church of Philippians, trying to encourage them and to have this joy. He's writing in such a way, he's saying, that I thank my God every time I see you. Here's what we're going to do. As we think about this, that I think the tension with this passage, that Christ is my life and Jesus changes everything, I think what we can feel safe to say that within these walls. We believe that on a Sunday, but what do we believe when we go out the rest of the week? What does our life look like? And so if we can say it here on Sunday, we've got to live it out the rest of the week. What we believe here has got to match how we're living our lives. And if we're not, we're missing the point. You can't really say Christ is your life. Christ is my life sometimes. Is that you this morning? What's your why? And so our big idea this morning is that as we understand that Jesus changes everything, Paul knew this, that Christ is my life in my confidence. The confidence that he had, it was all about Jesus and not his accolades or his resume or where he came from. That Christ is his life in his chains or circumstances. That Paul, if you were to look at if he had a baseball card and you were to flip that baseball card over and it would list all the things and troubles he went through, he'd be an all-star. The man went through some trouble now, okay? So he understood that what it meant for to have Jesus as the center of his circumstances, to be the Lord of what he was going through in terms of the chains. And as he's writing from jail, even in that moment, that Christ is the Lord, even in his chains. What's your chains this morning? Then finally, the conduct. Christ, if Christ is your life, he needs to be the Lord of the conduct you display, the way you live your life. And so the first point is this: Christ is my life and my confidence. Thinking about that word, confidence. A lot of people throw that around, and there's all kinds of connotations to it. But for Paul, it was everything. For Paul, he found his confidence in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, open them to Philippians chapter 1. The verses will be on the screen behind me. Follow along. If you're on your phone, I just ask that you're on your phone just for scripture purposes. Hold off on your phone and your Wordle for today. Just like, that'd be great. Philippians 1:3-6 says this. This is what Paul says. "Every time I think of you," listen to the tone. Listen to the heart of this man writing to his people. This is how I feel about you guys, by the way. I just want you to know. "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God," he says. He gives God, every time he remembers these beautiful people, this church, he thanks God. Verse 4, "Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy. Verse 5, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from that time you first heard it until now. And in verse 6, and I am certain that God, who began the work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And so, as you see, Paul's confidence, as he understands that Christ is his life, the Lord of everything, his confidence was found in Christ alone. It was found in Christ alone. His confidence was not in himself. Some of us walk around like we have it all together too much. We do. There's an arrogance about us that kind of stinks. It really does. And it's not good, right? I think there's a healthy perspective to have confidence in who you are in the Lord. But then there's one that's just like, that's just too much. You know, that's just, you know the people, right? And so his confidence was not in himself, but it was in, rather, it was Christ. It was not in his abilities or where he grew up or studying under Gamaliel, but it was in Christ alone. Paul knew that. He was certain of that. And so in his weakness, that gave him this biblical understanding, this Christ-like confidence. And that's my hope and prayer for us this morning, that if we can say Christ is my life, that you will have a Christ-like confidence, not a worldly confidence. Amen? How many of you this morning, I know Melanie's not here today, they have their thing, but on my refrigerator at home, there's a whiteboard, and on that whiteboard, there's about 7 to 8, maybe 10, I'll be honest with you, 10 projects that I need to finish that she's asking me to do. So does anyone else with me on that? You have projects that are unfinished at your house? Thank you guys that raised your hand. I appreciate you. Solidarity in that. But there's something at your house that you have excitement about, and you have all the good intentions to finish that mulch or to cut the grass or whatever, put up that fence. We have all those good intentions, the renovations that need to be done or whatever that project is, we have that. Some of the guys are like, come on, Pastor Ben, you're killing me. I'm with you. But here's the thing, like ultimately as I look at that whiteboard on my refrigerator, and every time I go in to get a glass of water or a water bottle, I'm like, oh, there's another reminder. I got to get it done. And I really, all I want to do is I want to make my wife happy. Amen. That's what I'm trying to do. I just want to make her happy. But something happened along the way, and those tasks on the refrigerator whiteboard are still there. They're not erased. There's not a check through it or a line through it. That something along the way got busy for me, didn't it? Or it got busy for you. And it just sits there incomplete. And when you look at that incompleteness on the refrigerator, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, it leaves me wondering, like, oh my goodness, I'm missing the mark. And here's the thing, that if I'm not completing the projects, like at some point they've got to get done, and we feel that tension in our lives. When we think about the work that God has done, that we often look at ourselves like that, like, you don't know what God's done, it's kind of incomplete. But here's the thing, God's not done with you yet. He's going to cross that off. He has got a work to do in your life. That God never, this is the truth, God doesn't abandon his work. That he's going to see it to completion. And so be patient with yourself. Be patient with God and wait on him. That's as Psalm 34 and 37 says. Wait on the Lord because he's not done with you yet. Be patient in what he's trying to do. And so if Christ is our life, we can have confidence, not in our own abilities, but we believe in a God who will see it to completion. Amen. So if God started something in you, he will finish it. You can believe that. You can write it down. You can take it to the bank. We don't have a God who is half committed to our lives. He'll get around to it when he feels like he can, or he'll check it off when he can. But he's always there. He saved you on purpose. He is shaping you on purpose. He's meeting you with purpose in your life, and he understands what you're going through right now and your difficulties. And your doubts and your struggles. That's what we prayed for this morning. That's what we sang about this morning. That Christ is right there with us. That he went to the cross. He rose from the grave. That he's right there with us. And he will complete that work. And so we, brothers and sisters, can have confidence in that. Where's your confidence this morning? Is it in Christ, or is it in some other religion? Is it in some type of a form of Christianity? Or is it in Christ himself? And so some of you are sitting here this morning that you feel incomplete in your life. Like you just feel anxious. You just feel incomplete, that things have not gone to plan. I can relate to that. Maybe you feel spiritually upside down. Do you ever feel that way? Like, God, what in the world are you doing? And so things in our lives might feel distant or confusing. Like, God, where are you in these moments that we can feel upside down? And here's the other thing, that we failed too many times. And we kind of put that on too often, like a holy or a dirty old coat, right? We're putting that on too much. I just can't be fixed, or I'm never gonna get it done, or I failed too much. God doesn't see you like that, and God's gonna see it to completion. God is not finished with you yet. God is your confidence. And so when you don't feel like growth is happening, growth is happening. When you don't see progress, God sees progress in you, right? And God is at work. And sometimes it doesn't feel good, but here's the thing, God is good, and God is good all the time. And so we have to cling to the goodness, as Paul says over and over. See, confidence is this. Confidence in Christ is he's enough, is knowing that he's enough even when I'm not. That's what confidence is, that Christ is enough even when I'm not. And so we can take that to the bank, and that's what Paul knew. That was the secret for him. That was why he was able to write with joy in jail. Like, I don't know what your response is in jail. Like, that wouldn't have been my response. I'll tell you that right now. And so when Christ is your life, he's your confidence. He is your confidence through and through. And you can count on that because God is faithful. So many times people let us down, but God will not let us down. He promises that in Scripture. We also have this. So Paul knew that when Christ is his life, that Christ is his life in his chains, in his circumstances, what he's facing. Maybe you have some chains in your life that you're waiting for God to break. And our prayer team this morning prayed over those, and we're praying this morning that you would just lay those chains down, that God will break the chains in your life that are holding you back. Listen to what he says this, Philippians 12 through 14. He says this, Paul writes, and I want you to know, just not hear about, I want you to know, heart and mind connecting, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here in Rome, in jail, has helped to spread the good news. Verse 13, for everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And so even the palace guard knows that Paul is a different kind of guy. They know that Paul is different, that he has Jesus in him. Even the palace guard knows that. The people that are imprisoning him know that. For everyone here, including the palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Verse 14, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Say, without fear. Without fear. And so if Christ is your life, he's your confidence, that he's your confidence even in the difficulties, even in your chains, and even in your circumstances. He is that without fear. And so many times we're just clung, and we cling to our fears as opposed to clinging to Christ and not our chains. And so that he says this, everything that has happened to me, his perspective in, as he writes this, is absolutely amazing. Listen how he says, everything that has happened to me has happened for the spread of the good news. What a perspective shift. Do you think of the stuff that you've gone through in your life or going through right now as helping spread the good news of gospel? Because that's how Paul saw it. He said, even in my chains, even in my difficulties, even in the circumstances that I'm going through, that Christ is my life even in those. And so you think about his attitude was, so we're going to talk about attitude next week, but that was his attitude, that he was able to see a different perspective, to see the things that were going on around him with a heavenly perspective. And some of us need that this morning. We need God to change our perspective, to help see our change as an opportunity to bring him glory. He says this, I love that last part. It says, this is happening for the advancing of the gospel. What a platform. That all this trouble that is happening to him is happening to advance the gospel. That people are inspired. You have to know at this time, this is post-resurrection, that Christianity is kind of scattered. Persecution is happening to Christians. There's mad emperors all over the place, and people are running for their lives, and so they're being imprisoned. And so as we see this, the chains are literal. They're literally being thrown in jail for their faith. Yeah, and as we talk about it today, like ours is more of a spiritual, like an existential chain that we're going through, right? And so listen, that's what God wants us to see. Like, when you view your chains, how do you view them? You know, when you see your chains, is it like game over? Or do you see it as like, this is a platform that I could use to bring God glory? There's a famous writer, you probably heard of this guy, John Bunyan. How many of you ever heard of John Bunyan? Not Paul, don't confuse him with Paul. I'm not talking about Paul. But John Bunyan was imprisoned for about 12 years. 12 years, right? For preaching the gospel without a license. 12 years for just doing what I'm doing right now. He was imprisoned for 12 years. right? And the authorities of the time tried to silence him. And they said, you can't preach, you can't teach, they're going to throw you in jail. And so John Bunyan sits in jail. Do you think that let him, like, they didn't stop him? It didn't stop him from proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Guess what he does? From that time on, he takes this imprisonment, and he writes the classic book that millions of people have been inspired by this work. Millions of people have been touched by this. And I think I Googled it, and it said it was the second best-selling book, Christian book, next to the Bible, which is probably a good thing, right? But he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Have you ever heard of that? John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. His perspective, he didn't let that time in prison go to waste. When he was imprisoned, that platform, his limitation became his platform to write one of the greatest classics of all time, not just in the Christian world, but in regular literature. Like, it is an amazing story of struggle and what it means to have faith. I encourage you to go see it or download the little bullet points that summarizes it, whatever it is. But here's the thing I don't want you to miss. That John Bunyan didn't see his chains as a limitation, but he saw his chains as a platform to bring God glory. Do you see what you're going through right now as a limitation or a platform to bring God glory? Because that's what he wants us to see. And Paul knew that. That's what it reminds me of, Paul's attitude, and Bunyan knew that. And my hope and prayer is this morning that you see that it's not just a limitation, but it's a platform in the here and now for you to bring God glory, or to draw others, to inspire others to continue on in faith. We think of the Bible, we think of other people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Moses just had a staff. God used that, not as a limitation, but to separate the waters, to lead God's people out of slavery. David, that little shepherd guy, just had a sling. What was he gonna do with that? Conquered the Philistine Goliath. And then Paul, a number of limitations were used as a platform to bring God glory. And I love that. So we often ask that question, God, why is this happening to us? But what we should say is, God, how can I use this for your glory? That's what we should say this morning. The toughest times in our life are those tough lessons that we're going through, we feel like we're gonna break if something else happens. You ever feel like that? But that's when God moves, and that's when God speaks. And my hope and prayer is this morning you will have a different perspective and see your chains or your circumstances or your problems as a platform to bring God's glory further and moving people forward in a relationship with Jesus. And is Christ your life? And if so, how are you dealing with the chains in your life? Are you surrendering those chains? Are you asking God, say, God, help me to use this for your glory? Because that's what he wants to do. If Christ is your life, you're gonna say, God, even in my chains, even in my negative circumstances, I'm gonna bring you glory, amen? And then third and finally, Paul knew this, that when Christ is his life, Christ was his life, even in his conduct, the way he carried himself, the way he lived out his life, he was in all areas of his life, even in his conduct. There's two different verses I want to read to you. Philippians 1:21, it just simply says this, I said it already, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. And so Paul knew of this. He said that I'm like, he understands to live for Christ is to deny yourself, as Jesus said, take up your cross. It's another way to say that. And so he knows that living for Christ, this is what it means. And to die would be so much better. And then in verse 27 in chapter 1, he says this. It's just beautiful. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. I love that. Citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, because he's not sure what's going to happen with this jail thing, I will know that you are standing together. Listen for his hope and his prayer and the vision that he has for the church. That I know that you are standing together with one spirit, with one purpose, fighting together. Say, fighting together. They're fighting together against the rulers of the air and the forces coming against the church, that they're together. They're fighting together, not with one another. Nothing will tear a church apart quicker than when there's infighting and disunity. And he's saying this, that's a statement of unity, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. And so you can see that this is Paul's prayer for the church, that would be part of the way they carried themselves. You think about Paul's life in Acts chapter 9. You can look at this on your own time. Before he became the Apostle Paul, the mighty Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul, if you didn't know this. Just a reminder if you did. Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was staunch a defender of Judaism. He was present at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And so then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then he had, Jesus knocked him off his high horse, and then he had this encounter. And if you take your Bible, if you have your Bible, hold up the New Testament and like pinch like three quarters of the New Testament. Paul wrote that. Paul wrote that in his conduct. And so he's writing about how God is, Jesus is his life, and his confidence, and his chains, and now he's talking about his conduct. And so Paul was trying to preach and lead by example to this Philippian church. It's a great message for us today. The church needs to hear this. And so as we hear this message, you know, we need to tell a story of our life that was changed. How has Christ changed your life? How is Christ right now, today, changing your conduct? And are you able to tell other people about it? My Monday night connection group, Matt Dovey is one of the leaders I work with. I give the guys each week this little Jesus, and because everybody needs a little Jesus, right? And I give them this little Jesus because it's a reminder to give these out, not just to kids, but to people. It says, Jesus loves you on the sash. And it's a reminder that even in our conduct, whether it's a waitress at a restaurant, or it's the person taking and helping you pay your bill, or it's your boss, heaven forbid, right? You're even in your conduct, even in those unguarded moments, you are about this. You're about telling people that Jesus loves you. And so it's a reminder to my group. It's a reminder for us in Philippians chapter 1 that we're called to bring Christ closer to people who feel God is distant. Do you get that? We're called to bring people closer who feel God is just distant. He's universes away. This past week, I'm just confessing in front of you, I'm a space nerd. I like NASA. I like, you know, all that stuff. It was amazing. Did anybody watch that? The coming back to Earth and the splashdown. It was absolutely amazing to me. It's been the first time that NASA sent a crew to the other side of the moon, and we saw these images. That's called the Earth set. And they sent this. They had big telescopes and cameras to take images that the human eye has never seen. And they went up there and they took pictures and they sent those images back to us. And you think about what a telescope or a camera does, right? It takes something that's very far away and brings it close and tangible. That's what we're called to do with our lives, like a telescope or a camera, that we're called to bring Christ closer for people. That they may not understand or ever read the Bible, but they may encounter you. They may rub up against you, and you're called to bring Christ closer to them, to get out of the way, to be winsome and not weird, because there's a lot of weirdness out there. We're called to do that. And so as people feel God is distant, and that's the truth, they feel God is distant and isn't there, we're called to be like telescopes, bringing God closer to people who need to hear him. And so we're thinking about this in what ways. And what ways in our conduct, the way we speak, the way we treat our family, the way we treat our coworkers, our priorities, what does your calendar look like? Are you giving time to serve, or are you giving time in your devotional life or your prayer life or even how you worship? God wants all those different things. He wants to be a priority in your life. And so your conduct can change when you surrender and say, Christ is my life, in my actions, my attitude, and then finally my priorities. That's what he wants. And so I just want to just ask you this morning, if you truly believe that, that's what's going to come out of you. It's going to reveal who you are. And God sees it, and the world sees it. And so we need to live that out day to day. There's a quote that I love from Ralph Waldo Emerson. I first heard this quote in seminary. The pastor used it teaching us, and he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and that was the context of this. And he's talking about this. He says, and you can see the quote, "What you do speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you say. What you do speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you say." And so what it's saying is this, is that our conduct is speaking so much louder than the words we actually share. You ever think of that? You think of the conduct. What's my conduct like? How are people coming against? Like when they come up against me or they encounter me, what are they encountering? Are they actually encountering Christ, or are they encountering something else? But what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say. So if Christ is your life and the Holy Spirit is empowering you, then what we do matters and how we conduct ourselves matters. Paul knew that. Paul knew that. And so that's why he's encouraging this Philippian church. And I'm encouraging you today. How are you conducting yourself? Is Christ your life even in your conduct? Here's the thing. Here's the tension with that. I am guilty of not always having Christ as my life in my conduct. Believe it or not, I'm up on a pedestal now that I mess up. I'm going to disappoint you. I probably already have. But God sees through that. But he sees who we are. And he sees you and I as his sons and his daughters, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. That's how Christ sees us. Does your life make Christ visible to others? Is your life like a telescope? Are you bringing Christ visible for people that just feel so distant to him? Our world needs that today. And it starts with how we are conducting ourselves, how we're living that out. The way we live should match what we believe and what we say here on a Sunday, amen? And I just want to challenge you to keep going. Some of you are doing that beautifully. Some of you are struggling right now, you know? And that's the great thing about church. As we come into this place week in week, and we have this, like, I'm going to die to myself. Jesus, I need you. And we have that opportunity each week to die to ourselves and ask God to do things in our lives that we can't do. And there's a story that I want to kind of end with. It's about a man who had purchased an old rundown house, and it was broken, it was outdated, it was barely livable. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Most people looked at it and said, why would you ever buy that thing? Where, the resale value, I can't believe what this is going to be. But this man had a vision for what this house could become. He had a vision. And so he began to work on it slowly. He began to work on it little by little and room by room and day by day. And overnight it didn't happen. But over time it did happen. This house finally came together. And there were moments when it looked like it was worse than it did before. But eventually that house came together. Everything changed. Everything changed in this house. The broken things became beautiful in this house. The damaged things were restored to what they were supposed to look like. And the house finally became a home. The house finally became a home. And here's why this matters. That's exactly what God does with us. He takes those broken, damaged things and restores them and makes them beautiful. I hope you hear that. Some of you need to hear that. That God is restoring those broken things in you. He wants to restore you to what you could be, how he sees you. And I just pray this morning that Christ is your life. He is your life. And so Jesus takes the broken people like me and the searching people and the incomplete people, and he makes them complete because of what he did on the cross and how he rose from the grave. Is Christ your life this morning? I'm going to invite you to stand. Is Christ your life this morning and your confidence? Where are you placing your confidence? Where is your confidence placed? Is Christ your life in all circumstances, or are you just kind of like given over to the circumstances? Because life is heavy sometimes. Jesus even said we're going to have trouble in this world, but we can take heart because he overcame the world. But here's the thing. I want to encourage you with this, just really challenging you this morning. Is Jesus truly shaping your conduct so that the world may understand who he is? That's what matters, is what we do with what we heard today and how we worshiped and how we prayed with one another and laughed together. What we're going to do with that matters to God. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower you to continue to go out and let your conduct shine for Christ. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for my brothers and sisters here that they would know that their past is forgiven, that they have purpose right now in the present. And Lord, that you hold our future with a secure hand, that you are mighty and powerful. And so, Father, I pray that we would trust you and follow you and live for you with all that we have, with our heart, with our mind, with our soul. And so, Father, may we be able to say, truly say this morning, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so, Father, I pray you bless us as we go. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.